invite you, as we open up God's Word this morning, to turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, we'll be covering verses 1 to 16 this morning. We've been working through the book of Matthew, and now we come upon another parable of Jesus's. And this one, I find, isn't as well known as some of the other ones, but it is truly a parable of Jesus. And it's the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. The laborers in the vineyard. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. But as I begin, I want to ask you, what is the difference between grace and merit? Grace and merit. Well, you think about merit is something deserved, right? It is something that you earn. So if you work 8 hours at your job, you have merited 8 hours of pay. But what is the opposite? Grace is undeserved, right? It is receiving something you haven't earned. It is receiving something solely based on the generosity of someone, on the kindness of someone else. But sadly, the truth is that we live a lot of our lives based on merit, right? You think about politics. It is driven mostly about quid pro quo. You ever hear about that? It's the idea of you do something for me and I will do something for you, right? It's sort of like if I do it, then you have to do this. But also our workplaces operate this way. We do some great things for others at the job place, but then we get angry if we don't get the recognition that we feel like we have earned for what we did, that we think that we deserve. And so a lot of our lives is characterized by thinking, I deserve that raise. I deserve that recognition. I deserve that award, right? I deserve to be named first. We dwell upon all of the things that we have done, and we consider that the amount of effort that we put in deserves this amount of return every time. And sadly, we even treat each other based on merit. We act like if I scratch your back, then you have to scratch mine, right? I want you to think about how do you relate to other people. When you do something for someone else, are you now expecting them to do something for you? And if they don't, do you get angry? That's living your life believing that what you do always deserves something in return. That is merit, living a life with a mindset of merit. This kind of mentality is what we saw last week with the young rich man, remember? He thought his good deeds could merit eternal life. He approached God with this merit mindset, and we do the same. We think we can merit God's grace, and we think that we can merit more and more from Him. And it is this merit mindset that Jesus will actually kind of go after in the parable this morning. And so look down as I begin reading in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went, going out again about the sixth hour. In the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me, or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. Jesus here begins telling us a parable about the kingdom of heaven and what it's like, and it's like this master of this house. And so it's showing us under the reign of God, this is how it works. And so he goes out and he hires laborers, and this would be done around that time, right? And so there's these people looking for work. And at that time, especially around the harvest time, you were hire temporary workers because there was more work to be done. And so he's going out and he's hiring laborers to get the work done. And this first group, he makes an agreement, right? They and the master of the house make an agreement, a denarius for the day's work. And then as the day goes on, he goes out at different times and hires more, right? And simply agrees, hey, I'll pay you whatever is right. And they go. This makes, though, at the end of the day, something happens, right? He pays the workers all the same. No matter how many hours they worked, they all got the same. And so you can imagine the first worker, first hires, they're angry because they worked all day, got one denarius, and then you have these latecomers who worked an hour or just a couple hours, and they receive the same thing, one denarius. And the master responds to their grumbling by pointing out he didn't do anything wrong towards them because they agreed to that one denarius, but he simply decided to be generous with these late arrivals. Now, as you think about this parable, that's just the summary of that, but you think about, what is this parable even talking about? Well, think about the context. It's in the context of rewards from God. You remember what Peter was talking about right before this, at the end of chapter 19. You see how Peter talked about the rewards that he and the disciples, what they would get. Right? And now Jesus is giving a parable to show us how we should approach the topic of rewards from the Lord. And as we analyze this parable, we see that obviously the master of the house is God. And then the laborers all picture believers. You think about the first ones that were hired, picture believers who think that what they do deserves more rewards from God over those believers who may have came later or seem to have put in less effort. And what I would like to do this morning is first look at the first people who were hired and their mentality. Remember the ones who grumbled? Let's look closely at them, and then later on we'll see how God is pictured. And so you see the first ones, they show us how we often think with a merit mindset. With a merit mindset. And so you think, what is a merit mindset? Well, it's sort of like what Peter was thinking. Back in chapter 19, verse 27, do you remember what Peter said? He says, see, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Do you see sort of his mentality coming in? He's coming in with this merit mindset. Look at how much we gave up, so what's in it for us? Right? That's the idea. I gave up this much. Okay, now what do we get for how much we gave up? And so Peter is approaching the idea of rewards with this wrong thinking. Now, Jesus did promise there would be rewards. But here, he seems to be battling Peter's mindset, right? Of, well, now, what do we get, right? It's that mindset. And so Peter, just because Peter and the other disciples gave up so much, just because they were the first followers, doesn't mean they should approach God like he is required to now give them more than everyone else. You see, what the problem is that we think that God works the same way that we do. Right? And so when it comes to rewards, we think that he goes by our human scales, our human measurements. And so we think rewards should always equal exactly the amount of work put in, of service rendered. And so we think that God will say, okay, guys, you deserve this. You deserve exactly this. You put in so many of these hours. Okay, this is exactly what you deserve. There you go. But God doesn't work that way. And Jesus is showing us that. We will certainly receive rewards, but we do not and should not serve God and then say, okay, Lord, pay up. Pay up all according to what I've done. You have to give. I've earned this. No, that's not the way it works, Jesus is showing us. And so he's showing us, if we do that, we're just like those first hired workers. So let me ask you, what is your mentality as you serve God? Like, do you serve only to get something in return? That is a merit mindset. Are you counting all of your works, right? Writing them, thinking, maybe not writing them down, but in your mind, you're counting them. All the effort I put in, I'm writing it down so that you can bring it to God and say, okay, what do I get for all this? That is a merit mindset. How dare we approach God that way? Saying, hey, pay up, Lord. Like, how dare we do that? And so let's look closely at these, the ones who were hired first. Because we see something about them, and it's not really pretty. Because one thing you see is, very much so, this attitude of entitlement. Entitlement. Do you see how these workers are very much feel entitled? Because it says when they saw what everyone else got, they thought that they would receive more. That is entitlement to a T. They weren't thankful that the landowner hired them, and now they have, hey, they can provide for their family because of this day's wage, at least for a day. No, what are they thinking? We deserve more, right? We deserve more. And so even though, do you remember their agreement? We agree to one denarius, they felt they are entitled to more. Isn't that interesting? There's this entitlement. We deserve more, even though we made an agreement at the beginning. And so these guys are really much contrasted with the later workers. Because you remember the later workers, they're hired on and they don't even know how much they're going to get paid. Did you see that? They don't even know how much. He just says, I'm going to pay you whatever is right. And they're like, all right, let's go. They don't even know. They're just trusting the generosity and the injustice of this landowner, of this master of the house. You see, entitlement leads to ungratefulness, doesn't it? Entitlement leads to ungratefulness. Because if you are an entitled person, you will always be showing ungratefulness for the things that you actually do have. Because you're always thinking of what you don't have, of what you think you deserve. And we see that in the first hired workers. Instead of being thankful, hey, we are paid enough for the day. We are paid according to our agreement. You see, they're just angry about what we didn't get. And so I wonder if, do we approach God ever with the sense of entitlement, of an entitled mentality? Like, do you think you deserve more than what God has given you? Maybe it's, you think, I deserve a better spiritual gift. Or maybe it's, you know, I deserve a better life situation. You ever think that way? I deserve better in life. See, we never go to God with entitlement because the truth of the matter is we do not deserve anything. We don't deserve anything. We are sinners who are rebels of God, the creator of the universe. We were the dead ones and now we're made alive. We were the rebellious ones who deserved death. And now through Christ, we are made children who now receive an inheritance. So who are we to say, I deserve more? It reminds us the Christian life is all of grace. We don't deserve a thing. We don't deserve even the breath in our lungs. And yet God gives it to us. He's the God who gives rain to the just and the unjust. And so entitlement, as Christians, should actually be the last thing that we ever display. Because we think about considering all that God has done and continues to give to us and continues and will do for us, entitlement should not be in us at all. And so you have this entitled ungratefulness among these people. But you also see that this entitled ungratefulness, what does it lead to? Grumbling, doesn't it? They grumbled to the master. You see, grumbling is the sound of unmet entitlement. Grumbling is the sound of unmet entitlement. It is also the sound that ungratefulness makes. If you find ungratefulness, usually you're going to hear some grumbling, aren't you? Maybe it may not even be out, but it's in the heart. And so do you ever grumble to God? I wonder, what is it about? I want you to think about, what do you grumble about to God? Maybe are you ungrateful about something? Do you feel entitled to something better? You see, grumbling is the language of someone who thinks they deserve better. You think you deserve better. I think of the Israelites in the wilderness. They were grumblers, weren't they? They were constantly grumbling. And they grumbled because they always thought we deserve a better situation. And they thought that God was failing at something. That God was failing to provide. God was failing to protect. And so they grumbled. And that's how these grumbling workers approached the master. They thought that the master did them wrong. They thought that they weren't given enough. They essentially thought this. The master was not good. See that? They thought the master was not good. He was doing something wrong. And it's very interesting because it shows us this truth. And this truth is, grumbling exposes our thoughts about God. Grumbling to God reveals you think He's not good. You grumble to God, you are saying, inherently, I don't think you're good. You are not giving me something I deserve. But who are we to grumble to God? The all-loving, all-knowing, all-good, all-powerful God who saved us out of sheer grace. And yet we grumble to Him. It's because that merit mindset creeps in. And that merit mindset is saying, you deserve more. You deserve better. When really we should be standing in awe at the graciousness of God that we have anything from the Lord. And so you see this entitled ungratefulness, you see this grumbling, but you also see an envious spirit, don't you? They're very envious. They're jealous. They see what everyone else is getting, and then they compare what they get to what the other workers got. And they become very envious. This is because envy and comparison are tag team partners. Envy and comparison are tag team partners, and what a nasty team they make. It is easy to compare our lives with others, isn't it? Especially nowadays when you have social media, it's so much easier to compare. Why? Because you are now seeing more glimpses into the lifestyle of other people. You are seeing more glimpses into what they have, and then you start to compare, well, I don't have that. And you start to be jealous of what they have or the lifestyle or whatever it may be. Right? We look around and say, I don't have that. Or you're thinking, I should have more than that person. But yet, look what I have. You think about all of the things that you have done, thinking, I deserve more than that person. How dare they get all that stuff? You see, that merit mindset is slithering right back in, right? We get upset because we deem ourselves more deserving of that better lifestyle, more deserving to have all those blessings that we see them having. And this can even infiltrate your service to the Lord because you say, look at all that I've done for the Lord, and He's going to give that guy so much more. You see how it just creeps into everything. This merit mindset, I deserve, I earned more than that guy. But I want you to think something about envy. Envy is never happy for the person it envies. It is never truly happy for the person it envies. It doesn't rejoice at the grace of God in someone's life. Because it's only thinking, what? I didn't get that. And so that's why the master of the house, did you see, he says, do you begrudge my generosity? Really, he's saying, are you jealous that I'm generous? Are you jealous because I'm generous? Like, think about that. In our jealousy, we don't rejoice at God's grace towards other people. We don't celebrate the grace of God because we're only thinking about what we didn't get from God. And there's something wrong with our hearts if we cannot celebrate the grace of God shown to another person. Instead of rejoicing with those who rejoice that the Bible calls us to, what are we envious of those who rejoice? But how awful and unloving is that for us to do? Because we should be thankful any time God shows generosity to another person. But we don't. Because we compare. We compare our lives. We compare what we say as our blessings. And we think, but I didn't get that. I deserve more than that guy, that girl. We are way too self-focused, isn't that? It's so revealing. We are way too self-focused rather than others-focused and other loving others. Do not compare yourself with others, but be thankful for the grace of God in your life. But also celebrate the grace of God shown to other people. You see, we often work with this merit mindset, and it causes all kinds of trouble. It causes all kinds of ruin in its wake. When you operate in a way that always thinks, I put this much effort, then I deserve this much reward, you are going to be a miserable person. You are going to be a miserable person because you will become entitled. You will be ungrateful. You will be jealous. You will be grumbling when you don't get what you think you deserve. We cannot approach God that way. We cannot come with a merit mindset. God is no man's debtor. He is not bound to our human measurements. Everything is His, right? Everything is His. Get that in your mind. Get that into my mind. Everything is His to do as He deems best. We must remember that. Everything belongs to Him. He's the creator of the world. Right? Everything belongs to Him. He's in charge, not us. And so we are not to grumble and complain, trying to move His hand, but we serve Him genuinely, knowing that He's always good. He's always good. Because if you think about it, as sinners, right, what do we merit? As sinners, do we merit anything? And there was one thing you merit as a sinner. The wages of sin is death. You and I, as sinners, before Christ, of course, merit, and the only thing we merit, is death. And so, as you can see, we need to remember, we are not meriters of grace. We are recipients of grace. And that makes the huge difference when you get it in our mind. You see, that is how we often work, with this merit mindset. I deserve, I did, so I earn this much. But how does God work? How does God work? Because in this parable, Jesus is showing us something about how God works. He is the master of the house, and so it's revealing a truth to us. And something that we see is that how God works is with gracious generosity. Have you ever met two people and you thought, you guys are so different from each other? Maybe even if you think about your life and someone else, you think, we are so different. Well, when you look at the people who are first hired and the master of the house, you see they are very different in their thinking. They are very much so opposites. And this reminds us that in so many cases, our thinking and our attitudes are different from God's. And the solution is not for God to align with us. The solution is for us to align with God, isn't it? He is the one who was always right, not us. And you think about, we so readily sympathize with the first people hired and their what they grumble about. We so easily align with them. But it just shows how different we can be from God. It shows how self-focused and loveless we can be. It reveals how merit-based we truly are compared with God, who is more so grace-based. And we see that as you look closely at the master of the house, because I want you to think about the character of the master of the house. And the first thing you see is that he is just. Now, at first you're thinking, no, that doesn't make sense because, you know, look what he did to them. But I want you to think about this. When you see how he dealt with his workers, he was actually completely just. He actually didn't do anything wrong. I want you to think about it. He did not underpay anyone, did he? He did not underpay anyone. That's why he points out, friend, I do you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? He did not hold back pay from anybody, did he? He actually paid these first hires exactly what they agreed to. There was agreement made, and he paid them exactly what they agreed to. And if you think about it, they were then the ones in the wrong. Why? They don't want to hold to the agreement. They thought we deserve more than we agreed to. They were actually showing themselves to be unjust. They're saying, I know we agreed to this, but we deserve more than that. They are being unjust. He paid them exactly what they agreed to. And the truth is, sometimes as we look at God's justice, it can seem, quote unquote, wrong to us. But it's always right because God is the standard of justice. He is the standard of fairness. He is always fair, but he will not always give you what you think you deserve. Because that's the thing, is we think we deserve something, but God is always going to give what is fair and just. But here's the thing, we act like what we think we deserve is what is fair. But what are you doing? You are saying, I am the standard of justice. I am the judge. I determine how much I should get. And so you're acting like you are in charge, like you are the one setting the terms of justice. And so we think that God must work by our fairness rules. And so we put our fairness rules above his. But he is the creator of what is just. He is the creator of what is fair. And when we open up our mouths to go against his standards of justice, we end up looking like fools and crooks. The workers demonstrated that they were the ones not desiring to keep with agreement. They were the unjust ones. And so you see that he does what is fair. He did not underpay anyone. But then on top of that, you see he is generous. He is gracious. And so you see, he did not underpay anyone, but then what was he doing? He was simply being more generous with some, and that isn't his right to do. It is his money. If he wants to be generous with people, he can be generous with people. Right? So he can be extra generous with people, and we have no right to say, how dare you be generous with your money? Do you realize that's what they were saying? How dare you be generous with your money? They're upset at the master's generosity. But you think about it, since when is it okay? Since when is it good to be upset at someone's generosity? It's not okay. Like, can you imagine saying, how dare you be generous with that needy person? I deserve more from you. And that's what they were doing. Just think, the latecomers would now be able to provide for their family. And so the first hire should be thankful. Man, that landowner is compassionate. I mean, they didn't have a job. Here they got hired late and they got to provide for their family. Because here the workers would often in that day work day by day, get paid day by day. And so you're living paycheck by paycheck, day by day. And here they get to provide for their family. They should see it as, man, he's being generous with these people who are needy. But they don't think that way. It showed the extreme lack of love for others. But who are we to despise God for showing grace to the undeserving? Because we are the undeserving, right? We are the undeserving who experience grace, and so how should we get upset? How can we get upset when God desires to show grace to another person? You know, I think about how we're so often like that older brother in the story of the prodigal son, aren't we? Right? The little brother comes back, and instead of the older brother being happy for the restoration of the little brother, he is upset because he's thinking about what he didn't get. Same sort of idea. But God is a God of grace and generosity. He loves to shower grace upon the undeserving. And we dare not find ourselves angry over God showing grace to another person, because that shows something about our hearts. The master of the house didn't have to give these people extra money, and yet he graciously desired to show love to more people, to provide for more people. You see, God doesn't work by our merit scales. He works by lavish grace. He gives according to his good pleasure out of his heart of love. God works oftentimes differently than we do. You see, we are all about those human standards of merit, right? If you do this, then you earned or deserve this. And if you don't do this, then you don't get anything because you don't deserve it. But God works by grace. And it doesn't make sense to us because we don't always work that way. But that just shows how much good and generous God is in us. It shows and emphasizes and highlights how gracious he is. He is truly a God of all grace. Because we are often mercenaries in our thinking. But God is a benevolent Father. You see, our minds seem to always go back to that track of merit. But God's mind is on grace. He will always be just, but his mind and heart is on grace, abounding grace and kindness to undeserving people. That is his character. He is gracious, right? And yet so often we think that he goes by our merit scales. You see, here's a truth that we each need to remember, is that the Lord never gives you less than you deserve. The Lord never gives you less than you deserve, but he always gives you more than you deserve. He always gives you more than you deserve. As one commentator said, all human merit shrivels before his burning, self-giving love. And in this parable, this story, Christ wants to break down our "I deserve" mentality when it comes to serving the Lord by reminding us God doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way. And so we shouldn't hold God up to our measuring sticks, right? We leave judgment up to him. He's not impressed by our list of efforts whereby we say, okay, Lord, I deserve this much now. No, he is pleased to give grace to the undeserving. That is how his heart works. That is how his character works. He loves to shower grace upon undeserving people. You see, God doesn't measure by our normal performance standards, but he often flips them, doesn't he? And we see that how Jesus, at the very right before this, because of the chapter you don't see this, but you see at the end of chapter 19, he says, "But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Well, right after this parable, what's the last thing in verse 16? "So the last will be first, and the first last." He's bracketing it in with these truths. He is showing us something, isn't he? He's showing us that God often flips things. And he's showing us that if you come to God with this "me first, I deserve" mentality, you will find yourself last. You serve for the purpose of getting, you will be last. You serve acting like God owes me more, you will be last. But if you serve like the latecomers, what do the latecomers do? Okay, I'll do it. And they have no idea how much they are getting, because they're resting in the goodness and generosity of the master. Then you will be first. When you simply say, Lord, I'm just going to serve you genuinely. I'm not just going to count all my works and all my effort and then expect this much. I'm just going to serve you and I'm going to trust that God will be good with rewards. I'm going to trust that He will be fair. I'm going to trust and be thankful that He will be gracious. I'm undeserving of anything, but I know I can trust Him. That is the mentality that Jesus is calling us to here. It's to simply serve Him genuinely and leave the rewards in God's hands. Don't come in with that merit mindset and a calculator in your mind, right? Because that is not the way God works. And so this means, as we think about rewards in heaven and things like that, it means there are some people who we expect will receive lots and lots of rewards who will not get as much as we expected. And it'll be on the flip, though. There'll be people who you think don't deserve many rewards, but God will give them many. And you'll see the first will be last. The last will be first. That is to say, we will be surprised by the rewards in heaven. God works with gracious generosity, and that is good news for sinners, isn't it? For sinners such as us. It is good news that God works with generous, gracious generosity because we are dependent on Him for everything. Because we often work by merit, but God works by grace. And so we don't approach God saying, I'll serve the Lord to get this. But we serve simply saying, Lord, whatever you deem is best, but I will just serve you. I will go into that field and I will serve you, not even knowing how much I'm going to get. But I'm going to know it will be good. It will be right. It will be righteous because I'm trusting the landowner. I'm trusting the master of the house. I'm trusting the Lord. And so that's what Jesus is driving us to know and understand, that gratitude for God's generosity should drive our service. You see, we do not serve God for the rewards, right? We just genuinely serve God who graciously rewards according to His good pleasure. And we know He will be gracious. And so we should never serve God with a performance mentality. We do not serve God with a merit mindset, entitled mentality, thinking I deserve more when it comes to serving God. But we say, I am undeserving, yet God has given me so much. I am undeserving, and yet look at what God has given me. And so I want you to reflect this morning as we wrap up, is reflect upon your motivation and your mentality for serving God. Really think about it. Is it to get something? To get something. That is a merit mindset. You're thinking, I'm going to do this so that I can get this. You're thinking that you can earn something from God. Do you give money in the offering thinking, I wonder what I will get now from God because I gave the sacrificial gift? Do you serve others thinking, God is going to notice this, He's going to be impressed, He's going to reward me with something? Do you live your life with a sense of entitlement? Maybe are you bitter with God because you feel like He has dealt you a bad hand? Are you jealous of other people, comparing your life? Are you ungrateful for the things that you do have? Remember, God doesn't work by our pay scales. He works by grace. He desires for us to be people who simply go to Him, knowing we are undeserving and rejoicing in whatever we receive from Him in His gracious hand. You know, this goes right with the message of the gospel, doesn't it? Because it reminds us we're all sinners who deserve eternal death. We didn't and don't really deserve anything good, but out of the love and grace of God, He sent Jesus Christ to come to this earth and do what we couldn't do. He lived in our place, doing the good things that we couldn't do, but He did them perfectly. He died in our place. He rose again victoriously, and all those who recognize their need and cling to Christ for help experience the grace of salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. You see, at salvation, we know we receive life based solely on grace, not merit. We do not earn forgiveness. We do not earn eternal life. We receive it simply by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, who did everything for us. We receive salvation by grace, not merit. And the truth is, we are to continue living our lives that way. Live lives focused on the grace of God, not approaching Him with a merit mindset, thinking, I deserve more, or I'm doing this to get. No, we bring nothing to the table. And the good things we do are only because of His empowerment. You realize that? Even the good things you do are because He gave you the strength and ability and gifting to do them. Right? And so you realize, in the end, our faithful service is because of His grace. And all we can do is to cast our crowns before His throne. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive us for the times that we come to You with this merit mindset of thinking that we deserve more because we think that we have earned more because of what we have done. Lord, forgive us and drive out that mentality out of our minds. Help us to be thankful and grateful for whatever You give to us, because we realize You have given us everything. Everything that we have, everything that we good that we do is because of You. It is because of Your grace. And so help us to live our lives remembering and trusting You and Your good grace towards us. Lord, just help us to do this, as we so often find ourselves back in that rut and that thinking of merit. But help us to live lives of grace, and help us to show grace to one another and be thankful for the grace shown to other people that we see around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.